danger there's sleight of hand going on amid all the high-frequency trading in financial markets.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The FBI has reportedly started a wide-ranging investigation into financial traders who may be using insider information but masking it by using rapid-fire, high-tech trading. Scott Patterson broke the story in today's Wall Street Journal along with Michael Rothfeld. Scott, good morning.
Good morning.
So it's not that rapid-fire trading is illegal per se. It's what it might be hiding.
The FBI is targeting the use of high-frequency trading strategies to mask more nefarious insider trading activities. So they think that it's possible that some firms might have information about a deal that could happen the next day. So they're going to use these strategies to execute, say, a buy order if they know a company is going to do a big deal the next day.
So there might be some insider trading buried underneath some of these rapid-fire trades, but also it's possible there could be market manipulation.
It is a wide-ranging investigation. So there's manipulation of markets when a firm can put in a whole bunch of orders in order to trick other traders into buying or selling, and then they benefit from those market movements that they themselves sort of falsely generated.
Now, it sounds like the Feds did not just wake up to this. I was surprised to see in your piece that the investigation has been going on for a while.
We've been aware that the FBI has been looking into these activities for some time. We think that now they're really drilling down into specific activities and are putting together cases. We don't know if anything will come of it, but they are getting much closer.
And what the FBI is up to is not the only investigation into high-frequency trading, right?
You have investigative arms across the federal government and state governments looking into this activities right now. Just recently, the New York Attorney General's office of Eric Schneiderman announced that he is looking into ties between high-frequency traders and exchanges with an eye on whether these firms are getting special advantages over other investors that are benefiting them and harming those investors.
Wall Street Journal reporter Scott Patterson is also author of the book Dark Pools, The Rise of the Machine Traders and the Rigging of the U.S. Stock Market. Scott, thank you.
Thank you.
Call it the hi there, big boy, want your battery recharged, marketing come on. Companies that offer to fill up your flagging mobile phone as a way to make a sale. From WHYY in Philadelphia, Elizabeth Fiedler reports.
It's a warm afternoon in Center City, Philadelphia, here in an Urban Outfitters store. Among all those dresses and sweaters, people are stopping at a kiosk.
Shoppers can go open up a little locker door, charging tips in each one, charge your phone, lock the door, and they can go freely shop, browse.
Doug Baldessare is the entrepreneur behind this phone charging kiosk. You can find them in businesses in half a dozen states. The Charge It Spot kiosks are free for phone owners. So who's footing the bill?
Traditional brick-and-mortar retailers dying to find ways to bring customers in, keep customers shopping for longer, ultimately get them to buy more stuff.
Baldessare's business has grown rapidly in the last year. The key to his success hinges on our fear of low phone battery. Standing in front of the kiosk, Valicia Mack says her phone is dead, and that makes her feel nervous.
I like I'm missing something.
Mack's visiting from Washington, D.C., She says she's never even seen one of these kiosks before, but she's so desperate for power, she admits she'd pay for it. Retailers have to find any way they can to bring people into their stores and get them to linger.
Foot traffic is down pretty much across the board.
Barbara Kahn is a marketing professor at the Wharton School.
The one thing I don't know for sure is whether you will actually spend more money. In the past, there have been studies that showed different things can get people to spend more time in the store. That does not necessarily translate to more purchasing.
Kahn says people who stop in to charge their phones might not buy much while they're in the store. But, she says, their exposure to all those products may prompt them to pull out their powered-up cell phone later on and place an order online. In Philadelphia, I'm Elizabeth Fiedler for Marketplace.
The hit show House of Cards on Netflix might be about D.C., but many of the scenes are shot in Maryland. The show depicts a variety of dastardly behavior, including a lot of strong-armed lobbying. But in real life, producers of the series have been lobbying Maryland legislators for further tax breaks. Marketplace's Queenie Kim reports their tactics are not going over very well.
At first, the House of Cards lobbying efforts were all wine and roses. Jennifer Bevan-Dangle is with Common Cause, a legislative watchdog.
They hired a top-rated lobbyist. They held a big schmoozy event with lots of liquor flowing.
And the actor Kevin Spacey was at the event, glad-handing politicians. Spacey plays the House Whip Frank Underwood in the show. But when the votes for the tax break bill looked uncertain, the producers pulled a stunt.
They sent this letter that was very threatening. They said, if you don't meet our requests, we'll be pulling our production out of the state.
Paul Pinsky is a Maryland state senator, and he says Frank Underwood would have done it a different way.
I think Frank Underwood would say, if you're going to threaten the governor, whisper in his ear, you don't write a letter and put it on paper.
The letter was actually sent to lawmakers, but you get the picture. Several of them are now threatening to use eminent domain to seize a House of Cards property if it stops shooting. High drama, for sure, although maybe not what Netflix was looking for. I'm Queena Kim for Marketplace.
And there's a seminal independent short film from years ago called Basta Pasta, where a guy eats a spaghetti meal backwards. It's one of the many things that is not on Netflix, but should be. Apparently, for April Fool's today, the aforementioned video streaming company has put up what looks like a Netflix original movie, a feature-length video of a chicken roasting on a spit backwards, as in from cooked to raw. Here is the best scene. For 73 minutes it goes, rotating away, no narration, no cuts, no pans, like a non-vegetarian Yule log. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.